Little Johnny talked to the pastor after the service, and he said, "How much you get in the offering today, Pastor Dave?" And the pastor said, "Well, Johnny, that's kind of a strange question. What? Why would you ask that?" He says, "Well, doesn't the offering go to you? Don't?" And he said, "Well, why would you think that?" And he said, "Because my dad said, as they were receiving the offering plate, as he was putting the money in, he says, 'Well, we better give something for this poor person of a preacher.'" Yeah, it was not good. But there's a point to that, and that is, how many of you really identify with these words that we hear from Jesus today, the Beatitudes? How many of you think that those Beatitudes are about you? I think we have a mixture of feelings about that, because it's you know, we see these things and we say, you know, "Well, blessed are those who mourn." Well, I mourn, you know. "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit." I have my moments where I feel kind of lacking in spirit. But is that really what Jesus means, how he's saying these things? What we have here is the first time that Jesus preaches in Matthew's gospel. And Matthew puts him up on a mountain. So he goes up the mountain, and it's kind of like Moses. You know, what does Moses get when he goes up to the mountain? He gets the Ten Commandments and brings them down to the people. Well, this is Matthew's somewhat of an equivalent, okay? And we have this list of blessings that are given. And ever since these blessings have been out there, we as people have struggled to exactly know what it is that Jesus is saying here. Is he saying that we're supposed to be like this? Because in the Jewish culture, to have a blessing means that you were probably wealthy, that you were well-to-do, that you had positions of power. That would show that God blessed you. So for Jesus to say these kinds of things about the poor in spirit, the meek, the peacemakers, that's not really somebody that you would consider maybe wealthy and powerful. It goes against the grain. And so he's turned himself, or sharing with us, certain situations with individuals who are really struggling in life. Now, I'm not going to go through each of those Beatitudes. That's something maybe you might want to go down and study a little bit. But let's just take, "Blessed are those who mourn." We automatically assume it's people who are you know, struggling with the loss of a loved one. Maybe. But in Jesus' day, it had to do with the fact of the restoration of Israel to the way it was. Okay? It had to do with the fact that people forgot what it was that they were to be as a nation. It has to do with the fact that they lost their way and their direction, and they were not even focused on being a people or being what Jesus had asked. What might it be that Jesus has asked? Well, we can go back to Micah, and we can hear those words of what Micah proclaims to the people after they have been in exile and they're struggling to establish their nation. And they kind of are consumed with, how is it that we're going to get things back together? And they're thinking, if we can offer sacrifices or do these different things in order to get God's attention and make everything right again. But Micah says, "Nah, it's none of this stuff." He says, "It's to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in the path of our Lord." To do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly. Things that they didn't do well, and to be honest with you, there are things that I don't do well, and my guess is probably you struggle with them too. Because it's not always easy to look to others who have less than us. Because a lot of times what we want to say is, well, they could be better if they only applied themselves. If only they would take advantage of the gifts that God gave them and did the right things. They would have all that they need. They don't need to be in this situation of being poor or poor in spirit. The moment we'd start doing that is we lose the spirit of the Beatitudes. Because it's all about being present in the Spirit. It's about knowing what it is that God has asked of us. It's not what I think it is or what you think it is. And that's part of the problem what we face today in this world, because everybody has their opinion about how things should be. And so we are living in a country that is divided in so many different fractions. It's any wonder that we will be able to stand as one. And we continue to struggle with that. But as Christians, that should not be a struggle, because it's very clear what God is saying to us as to how we are to interact with others. And what is it that in the Spirit of Christ that we are to do? To love one another. But when I hear, you know, people shouting out, let them die, it doesn't matter whether it's talking about immigrants or people who are on Affordable Care Act or whatever it happens to be, and whether you're for it or against it, I don't care. But what I do care is the spirit of where we stand as Christians and the way that we proclaim the fact that God has asked us and demanded of us that we do justice, that we love kindness, and that we walk humbly. Because I will be the first to admit to all of you, I don't know everything, and you probably have already figured that out. Right? Oh, man, he was way off on that one. I am just simply an ordinary individual, just like you, that somewhere, some way, and I don't know why, but God, sometime in my years in junior high or senior high, God said, you're going to serve me. And I said, but I want to be a cook. I want to do these things. I don't want to do what my dad did. Because I saw the hurt that it caused me personally when he was taken away from me at family times. My dad was an old school pastor, and I mean, I understand the mission, I understand his call, but he took it to heart, sometimes to the neglect of the family. He was a good pastor. He did what he thought. I tried to be a good family person and a good husband, and it doesn't always work that way. But God called me to serve him in a specific way, just as he's called each of you, given you gifts. But he's also planted in you the very seed in which Jesus is speaking of, the very thing that actually can cause us to be divided and hurt because we have attitudes and understandings that run contrary to each other. And when we talk politics, it's almost as if we can't even do that anymore in light of the Christian understanding, because it's either my way or your way or ever, however it has to be, and there's no tolerance whatsoever. And that's got to stop. If we continue want to exist as a congregation and as a community and as a country, the first thing we need to do is go back to what Jesus speaks to us, and at the heart of the matter is that we understand the direction of the Spirit and where it's pulling us. And it isn't what I want or what we want together or what you want, it's what God wants. I truly believe God weeps over the fact of some of the decisions that we have made as people, because we have trampled and we have made a mockery of the very things that we are called to do. The very people that Jesus addresses in the Beatitudes aren't necessarily us, but they're the ones that we would consider at the bottom of the rung. And he's saying that this blessing is going to come to you. It's hard right now. There are hurts and pains, and there are things that you may not understand. There are trials and tribulations and all kinds of things that you will experience. But in the end, God's promise with you is that you will be with him forever, and you will be blessed. And that's what God's calling us. Calling us to speak up for those who cannot speak out. Calling us to feed the hungry, calling us to do all those things that Matthew talks about later on in his gospel, about when have we seen you hungry or lonely, or when you've been naked, or when you've been in prison. That's our call. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, is seeing a divided community. You see, they all have their certain attitudes too. They, you know, there are those that feel that, you know, Paul really speaks for them, and others who feel that Peter speaks for them, and others that the individual leaders of the community, that they speak for them. And the reality is, Paul says, no, we are one church and one body, and who speaks for us is Christ. It is Christ. God's Spirit is often ignored in our life. And today it's really calling us to say, oh, yes, this is what it's about. This is what it is about. And the words of Micah that you know, I just hang on to, you know, ever since I've been a kid, those words of doing justice and loving kindness have been a part of where I feel that God has directed me. Yes, I get stubborn. Yes, there are times that I am wrong. There are times that I have not been kind. There are times that I have not been humble, but I believe that's why I got married, because my wife reminds me that I'm not as great as I think I am. But I am very thankful for the fact that God, in spite of the fact that I am this very weak, very flawed individual, has looked upon me and blessed me, just as he has blessed each of you. You know, as you heard the kids talk about being blessed by family and home and having a bed, being blessed in baptism, all those things are important. You are important. You are a blessing to me. And just like any family, sometimes each of us may want to cause us to pull out our hair, or my hair has gotten a little bit grayer since I've been here. Not that there's much dark left there. But that's just what happens. That's what it means to be a community. And it means that we grow together, and it means that we have disagreements, and it means that we live together and we lift up. And when we hear, the response to the psalm today, and I could just watch people kind of moving with that as Jonathan was leading us. When we are called to hear the Spirit, when we are seeking ways in which we approach our Christian living, when we approach individuals in our community, in our pastoral staff, when you talk to Sharon about what it is to find direction, to seek out what it is the Spirit places in your life, and how that Spirit plays into worship, and how it comes out in the form of proclamation, no matter who's standing here, it's God. So today I encourage you, as you look at this list that Jesus proclaims to us, that yeah, maybe we do see ourselves in there. But let us also look, as I shared with the study groups, you know, it doesn't say blessed are the middle class. It says nothing about that. You know, they had no middle class in Jesus' day. You were nothing, or you were something. And here, you know, Jesus is speaking about those that are so beyond how we could even understand their living. To imagine what it is that a child experiences in Aleppo, as well as those that are in inner city living in poverty. Unless you have been there, and I haven't, I will not understand. I have to rely upon the Spirit and that understanding of doing justice and loving kindness and appreciating the fact that there are people who are struggling and suffering out there that we are called to minister and to provide. That we also can be a blessing and also be blessed in that process. Some of you have experienced that blessing in being mentors to the alternate ed school across the way. Some of you have experienced that in building a house in South America or Central America. Some of you have experienced that in what you have done locally, whether it's food baskets or reaching out and even tutoring children or whatever it is that God has called you to do. That is the Spirit who works through you to be a blessing to others. And so today, what I'm saying to you is that you need not worry about your standing with God. That's been made very clear to you at the moment that you've been baptized and reminded every time we come together, we hear the absolution of how God forgives us and that we start a new day. We hear it again when we receive the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in his grace. And then at the conclusion of the service, you have a blessing again. How many times do we need to hear how God blesses us? So go forth. Hear the words of the prophet as it's proclaimed to you, and hear the words of God saying to you, take care of my people. And even though maybe you might see that there is an undue cause for concern, or you might think that somebody's using the system, you cannot stop the process because of one or two individuals, because there are so many out there that are in great need. And I realize that every day that I'm here and somebody walks in the door and looks for help, there are repeat offenders, and then there are the complete strangers. And each time, we try to help one way or the other. I don't know if they're using me, and frankly, I don't care anymore. I just figure God, some way, somehow, will work in them his Spirit of blessing and the revelation that Christ is providing, as he has provided for you. So bless you. And that's not because you sneezed. But bless you in that God has given you all that you need. And let's leave from this place and be a blessing to others. Hearing Paul's call to be in the body of Christ. And Malachi encouraging us to do the very thing that God asks of us, to do justice. And when it comes to justice in the name of Christ, it's about grace. Because the reality is, none of us deserves what God is giving us, and that is how we should treat one another as well. Be a blessing. Amen.